Talking today with Tom Bias, Growth Energy. Tom, it seems that we continue to have a pretty strong struggle over the hearts and souls of America when it comes to the renewable fuel standard and of biofuels in general.
Yeah, I think there's always a continuous struggle for anything in rural America that's made. I mean, you look at the criticisms for American agriculture, there seems to be a lot of folks that just don't understand what happens in rural America. And there's a lot of folks, even in this room, that don't really understand how ethanol and renewable fuels are made and what the value is. And we still hear a number of people out there saying you use 40% of the corn crop. That's a gross number. It's like someone's paycheck. You got a gross amount and you got a net amount, and the net amount's about 17%. So all we take out of that kernel of corn is the starch. We have an abundance, an excess of starch in the world. All the protein, which we don't have an abundance with, but all the protein, oil, and fiber comes back in a very good livestock feed called distiller's grains. But a lot of people seem to think that whole kernel disappears. And, you know, the oil industry and some of their allies, including in agriculture, are out there running these ads showing a little girl eating a piece of sweet corn. And saying, you know, for a human body or for a vehicle, right? Well, we don't, for the record, and anybody can look this up, we don't make ethanol out of sweet corn, canned corn, popcorn, or even candy corn. It's out of number two yellow corn, not what Americans eat. It goes for livestock, and all the good stuff out of that kernel of corn gets returned to the feed market.
When we hear this battle over the renewable fuel standard, it seems like there's a lot of folks that say that we simply shouldn't have the government picking winners, I think is the word that's used quite often, especially within the livestock industry.
Yeah, we would say the same. They shouldn't be picking winners either on a lot of those other issues that the livestock industry benefits, which is certainly pretty extensive. And the oil industry benefits. I mean, right now, the law, the regulations require that 90%, you're mandated that 90% of your fuel has to come from fossil fuel. Let's get rid of them all.
Tell me, where are we really on a decision or, you know, either leave it alone or potential rollback? Where are we really at this point?
Well, on the immediate issue, Ron, is the renewable volume obligations that are set annually by EPA. They should have been set last November for 2014. It's May. They're probably not going to see anything for another month or so. And that's kind of the current debate. Those are volumes set annually. And EPA proposed to go backwards despite the fact that no one thinks they have the authority to go backwards. Oil's pushing that mantra hard, and it's a fight over market share. We took 10% of the fuel market. We're on the cusp of being able to develop ethanol and produce it out of additional feedstocks, which will benefit all 50 states. Mm-hmm. And the volume requirements for that are twice what they are for grain ethanol, and that's what scares them. They don't want to see that next generation succeed because that's potentially more market share loss. And all we're really asking for on the renewable fuel standard is market access, because without that, sales of fuel to Americans is controlled by a monopolistic industry that didn't want competition. It's all we're asking for. We're willing to compete. We're not mandating you have to use higher blends. We want that consumer to be able to buy them based on price, performance, and the type of vehicle they have.
Regarding one other issue in regards to that next generation, we saw the reference to switchgrass during the previous administration's State of the Union address. It seems like the promise of that next generation or that cellulosic ethanol just hadn't quite got there yet.
Yeah, and, you know, really, if you stop and think about it, the rules and regulations didn't come out until 2010, 2011. We were in 2008, shortly after the RFS was passed. We went into the deepest recession this country's seen in our lifetime, if not ever. Lenders and investors went to the sideline, not just in the ethanol industry, but all industries, the entire economy. The economy chugged along and didn't see a lot of growth for a long time, and now you're starting to see it. And this year, for example, you got three major companies that are actually going to be producing commercial cellulosic ethanol from farm waste. Two of them will be corn stover in Iowa, one of them in Kansas from wheat straw. And like any industry, they have to squeeze out the efficiencies. They have to get started. They have to, you know, no industry starts out as efficient as it ends up, and that process has to happen. Is everyone disappointed didn't occur earlier? Sure, I think they all do, but what you're seeing now is just as we're at the cusp of it, you have the people that don't want to see it succeed coming out of the woodwork and spending all their resources trying to discredit it. It can happen, and I think that's what they're afraid of. You know, they want to keep it at that 10%. The corn ethanol industry is already built out. We have the capacity, the biorefineries, to produce more than we're allowed to produce. It's that next generation that, you know, the guys with that little industry, it starts with an O and ends with an L, doesn't want to see develop.